For this is the will of God, your sanctification. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Lent is not only a time of penance, it is a time in which we should increase our fervor and devotion. That is, we should be trying to work more on increasing our devotion to God, that is, our fervor and our seriousness about our spiritual life. Devotion comes from the Latin word devolvere, which means to vow. And so devotees are those who have vowed themselves to God as being totally subject to Him. St. Thomas makes the observation that devotion is nothing other than the will promptly giving itself to that which pertains to the service of God, that is, worship. And as the deacon pointed out, it is an act, that is, it's something we do pertaining to the virtue of religion. However, the act of devotion needs something on the side of our intellect, because the will is a blind faculty. We can't will anything unless we at least are willing something, and that something is something that we have in our intellect. And so we always will something known. And so St. Thomas says that devotion requires meditation or contemplation, that is, it requires prayer. Since devotion is an act by which one promptly gives one's will over to God, and this can only occur when the will is presented its object by the intellect which contemplates it. Devotion is prompted by the consideration of the divine goodness and his good works. Also, it is prompted by the consideration of our defects, which shows us our unworthiness before God. And it also consists in a bit of meditation on our sinfulness in relationship to him. For it is the sin by which we have been insubordinate, that is, we were not subject to God. And so it is through devotion that we begin to overcome that in a certain way. This destroys presumption, which causes us not to be subject to God. That is, presumption being that the person thinks that they can attain spiritual goods or attain God on their own, that is, attain heaven without the aid of God. Whereas those who are devout, being subject to God, recognize that this is not possible without the aid of God. Obviously, in consideration of our defects, we realize that if we follow our own path, it just leads to defect and to sin, whereas if God gives us aid, it can ultimately lead to heaven. And so, devotion prompts us to virtue. Devotion is the cause of joy, since joy is the result of a thing loved being present in the intellect and will to the one who loves it. And since the devout person loves God, in meditating upon God and his goodness and his perfections, a person receives a certain joy as a result of it. It causes joy or happiness because the consideration of divine goodness and all that he does for us, that is, his beneficence and benignity to us, moves the will to giving itself to God. And this is a natural human inclination. We have a natural inclination to have a certain favor or a certain appreciation or even love for those who do good things for us. And thereby, the will and the person comes to rest in God alone. As St. Augustine says, our hearts shall not rest until they rest in thee, O Lord. In other words, to the devout person, the object of his joy is God alone. And so he doesn't rest until he ultimately sees God face to face. However, devotion can cause sorrow, because through meditating on God's goodness, we recognize our failings, and so we come to knowledge of our defects. But knowledge of our defects can cause hope as well, since we know that God is providing for us by giving us the knowledge of our defects, because without a grace, very often people are incapable of seeing what's wrong with them, or without a grace and without God's providence, they won't overcome them. And so they know that by trying to strive and overcome them, that God is helping them in the process. And so it gives us hope. Devotion must be done consistently and fervently. The deacon's homily on perseverance is quite important in relationship to devotion. It is something in which we must persevere, because perseverance deals with things that are arduous, and devotion is arduous. It's difficult. To do acts of religion consistently is difficult. And this is why it is manly. It is manly to do those things which are difficult because they pertain to the virtue of fortitude, and that's the proper manly virtue. So prayer, likewise, being something that's arduous, the prayer which will aid the devotion, these two things being difficult are those things that are properly manly. That doesn't mean women shouldn't do them. It's quite the contrary. But it means that men can't use the excuse that, as you sometimes see in our culture and even in others, that religious things are more for women than for men. This is completely false. They are proper to all of us, men and women, as being rational human beings, that is, as having an intellect and will and our obligation to lift them up to God through prayer and through subordination to Him. A devout person is the one who consistently subjects himself to God in his will interiorly, but exteriorly he manifests that subjection by different kinds of acts or different kinds of devotions. And so what are they? Well, of course, the church has many, but among them, one of them is the making a holy hour. That is, even if you can't get to church, although it's better to do it at church because you can do it in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, and so by being in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, your prayer is more efficacious. But if you can't do that, making a holy hour at home is important. That is, every day, people should be striving to get to the point where every day they're taking an hour in prayer and meditation and saying the rosary and doing spiritual reading and things of this sort. Then there are Stations of the Cross, which we also have here on Fridays during Lent. But these can also be done and should be done from time to time by people even outside of Lent in order for us to recognize how much Christ went through in order for us to be saved. Again, because we see Christ doing this good work, that is, undergoing the Passion, it will move us to be more subordinate to Him. Then there are novenas that we can do in honor of our Lord, in the Sacred Heart, in the Holy Face, and things of this sort, but also to Our Lady and to other saints, and these are normally done in order to obtain something. But it's good to do novenas on a somewhat regular basis for the needs of your family, for those that you know, your friends, and things of this sort. Then there's the First Friday and First Saturday devotions, by going to Mass on First Friday, receiving Holy Communion, and getting to confession. This is good because it helps frequent confession and it helps a person to get to Mass. But it also will help our devotion because of the fact that God promises certain things in relationship to them. You know, again, devotion is inspired or comes about or arises because of the fact that we see God doing a good thing for people. I know a man who was very devoted to the First Friday and to the Sacred Heart devotions. And one of the promises of the First Friday devotions is that the person will not die an unprovided death. I think I may have already mentioned this from the pulpit before, but there were 5 priests on his deathbed. This is a sign that God does do good things for people. Then there is daily Mass. People should try and be getting to Mass daily, and this is especially during Lent. This was a traditional practice. People always traditionally tried to make a greater effort to get to Mass during Lent. Then there's the lighting of vigil candles. And this is important because a vigil candle signifies the fact that unless we're in the transforming union, we cannot day and night be praying constantly before God. So we will light the vigil candle in a petition of some sort or in honor of our Lord or Our Lady or something of this sort. And the vigil candle stands as a witness before God of our desire to have constant prayer before Him or that the petition would be constantly before Him so that we may obtain it. And so lighting the vigil candles is a good devotion. More frequent confession. Also the rosary, the chaplet of divine mercy. The chaplet of divine mercy is really good for those people who are going through really difficult times in their family and things of this sort because we can petition the mercy of God so that if there's any demons of oppression, they'll be driven back. There's the little office of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which you rarely see people doing today, but which was a very traditional practice. Attendance at benediction. We have simple benediction here on Thursdays, and we also have solemn benediction on Fridays, that is, First Fridays. Then there's the wearing of scapulars and medals, that is, making use of the various sacramentals of the Church. There's the reception of blessings in a time of need by the priest or at times designated by the Church throughout the course of the year, such as getting the Epiphany blessing for the house on the Feast of the Epiphany, which is very efficacious because of the fact that the water used is double exercised and therefore is much more effective in keeping demons out of the home. Or when a woman becomes pregnant, there's a special blessing for that. And quite frankly, I think it's unconscionable that a woman who is a traditionalist and is aware of this blessing wouldn't get the blessing when she becomes pregnant because of the fact that if she really loves this child and desires to see it brought to term in a healthy fashion, she would want all the protection and the help that she can get. And there is an actual petition during the blessing to God to assign an angel to watch over the pregnancy and the guidance in its birth, and so that she should, any time a woman is pregnant, she should come as a matter of devotion and receive this blessing. There's also blessings on the anniversaries of their wedding, and there's a blessing for just about anything. In fact, there's a blessing for all things. In fact, there's nothing that can't be blessed that can't be made of a good use or a holy use. The gaining of indulgences and devotion to the poor souls in purgatory is a good devotion to practice. Then making pilgrimages. Then you can do short ones. You can go to the fraternity's seminary to make a short, it's only 70 miles from here, or to the Carmelites in Agnew, which is about the same distance. There's also the grotto in South Bendaya, which, is, if I understand, is a little bit farther. Or if a person wants to go even farther yet, from, you know, in a course of a person's life, if they have the means to do so, they should try and make pilgrimage to Rome or Lourdes or places of this sort as a sign of devotion. Then there is the devout and consistent praying of the Angelus, by which we break up the course of the day, that is, saying it at noon and at six or before our meal in the evening in order to show our devotion to Our Lady and to the Incarnation. Then there's taking on of a penance in honor of the Sacred Heart or later saints of this sort. In other words, this is just a few things that we can do. There's a whole host of different devotions that we can do, which shows the richness of the Catholic faith, which is not enjoyed by the Protestants. I mean, the fact of the matter is that we should have a deep appreciation for the gifts of these devotions which God has bestowed upon the Church, because the Protestants don't get to enjoy them. And yet so few Catholics tend to take advantage of them, even traditionalists. The person who is devoted to God is willing to be inconvenienced. Now, I recognize that the fact that our culture is based upon convenience. In fact, one of the principal driving forces behind an increase in our knowledge of technology and things of this sort and our capacities in that regard is in order for people to have a more convenient and easy life. But the fact of the matter is that the spiritual life is arduous. It's difficult. If anything, it's not convenient. And so we as traditionalists should recognize that if we are to be devout, we should be willing to incur a certain amount of inconvenience in order to practice these devotions. And yet we see that people are not willing to be inconvenienced. And this is commonly seen if people have to drive even a short distance because they don't want to be inconvenienced by it. It's too much of a hassle, is what goes through their mind. In fact, the fact that spiritual things are arduous and sometimes inconvenient for people sometimes doesn't mean that they won't suffer a certain amount of inconvenience in order to reduce the amount of the ardor, you know, the fact that it's difficult. Or they don't want to take the time sometimes to even do those things that pertain to devotions. They don't want to cut into their entertainment or recreation, such as watching TV and things of this sort. A lack of devotion is often caused by people having one foot in the world and one in the Church. You have to have the virtue of simplicity, not only just in relationship to your belongings, which is what the virtue of simplicity proper belongs to, but sometimes the virtue of simplicity or the simplicity is given in relationship to those who are single-hearted in their love of God and their devotion and worship of God, so that they can put away entirely a worldly approach to their life and serve God alone. This is Lent, a time in which we increase our devotion so we can show God that we are subject to Him and are therefore worthy to receive the joy of the resurrection. Given the fact that so few traditionalists are even practicing many devotions, you need to ask yourself, how devout are you? And one of the ways that you can take a look at that is you can ask yourself, how devout has your Lent been? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.